This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Dungeon. Thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, and of course thank you for following us on Twitter and leaving us all those iTunes reviews. Really appreciate them, and as I say every week they help us get up those charts, which helps us carry on producing this podcast week in, week out. Find us on Twitter, I'm at Jay Beardmore, this podcast is at the Rugby Dungeon. Also, there is the world's biggest rugby podcast, me, Tim and Phil, out every Monday. That is Egg Chaser's Rugby Podcast. We'll be doubling up over the lines, I think, and going on far beyond that too. So get on to Egg Chasers, get onto us on Twitter and leave those reviews. Much appreciated. Today's guest is Brian Redpath. Brian has played at Sale, played for Scotland, obviously, maybe I should mention that one first. He also has coached at Gloucester, coached at Sale, and is currently coaching Yorkshire Carnegie, who are second in the table, guaranteed a playoff spot, and they will be having their game, their first leg game against, I think it'll be Ealing, in the next few weeks, so look out for that. We talked to Brian about all the issues in the Championship, developing players through the academy. His son is actually going through the academy process at Sale Sharks at the moment, so we touch on that. But before any of that stuff, I just want to give a quick shout out to Couch Grind Coffee. This isn't a sponsor, just a good lad from Sale Sharks, Dave Seymour, who is transitioning into his after rugby life with a new coffee venture, Couch Grind Coffee. Go and have a look on the internet, see what they're offering. Good guy, great product, lovely coffee, Couch Grind Coffee. Right, enough of all that, let's get into the interview. Here is my chat with Brian Redpath. Hope you enjoy it. How are you, Brian?
Yeah, very well, thank you. And, looking forward to my weekend, so all good.
What have you been up to today? Because you sound like a busy man.
Oh, no, it's been a day off, actually. So, the boys, it's our day off, so it's been quite relaxing. I've not done too much, a bit of training myself and cut the grass and the usual old stuff, so nothing exciting.
You're still keeping in shape?
Oh, no, at all. Just a little bit of core stuff and a little bit of that, just ticking over, nothing too much.
We're not going to have any emergency Andy Nicol-style returns to the game, then?
No, but none of that stuff. That went many, many years ago, so I'm not interested in doing any of that stuff now.
I understand earlier on today, were you with Sale? Is your son there?
Oh, my son's doing training there, yeah.
How's he getting on?
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's involved in the academy last season. They had a good year, the academy. They lost in the final to Harlequins. So, he enjoyed that time there, and he's been very fortunate. He's got a good group of lads there, and they all got really well together, so it was just a bit of training for him.
Position is he playing?
He plays 10-12 and can cover 15 as well. So for the academy this season, he played most of his rugby at 12. So he's enjoyed that, and he's done some other stuff playing at 15 at school and playing 10 as well. So he's been very fortunate that he can play a few positions, but mainly it's 10-12 that he's been mostly played.
Excellent. Now, I guess you've seen it all before, so my immediate question here is, what kind of advice do you give him, or for that matter, any young player coming through the game?
I think the key part for me is, first and foremost, I'm his dad, and I've got to make sure I keep that, that head on me, because it's very easy to be critical, I guess, but I've just always ever said to him, just keep being honest and don't cut the corners, and make sure that you train hard and you listen to the people above you, and also play for the team. That's a big thing. You're a team player, and you're playing in a game that requires everyone to play together, and if you play well together, you get your rewards as a team. So just always remember that you're a part of the team.
Yeah, you must look at these academies now and just feel they're a world away from when you were coming through the ranks.
Yeah, I think the academies are well run. They're far more professional because they've got all the sports science, they've got all the GPS, they've got all the nutrition, they've got all the backup to support what they do. So I think when we played, it was, you know, it never really came through an academy. We used to play for under-18s and then play for the second team, so I didn't really go through that stage. And when it turned professional, the players that were coming through then, you know, mixed in with us a lot anyway. So I think it's far more professional nowadays than it ever was.
Is it a worry for you at all that young players aren't getting enough game time through the academy system, particularly if they get to, say, first team squad relatively early?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, you've got the A-League matches, the LV Cup matches, so there's probably 10, 12 games anyway. Mm. And then if they are, you know, attached to a sister club, whether that be, you know, a championship team or a national one team, then obviously they're going to try and pick up some game time there. And also, if you're under 20, you've got that Six Nations with the under 20s and the 20s World Cup. So there's another 10 games potentially if you do well. So, you know, there is a 20 game program there for players nowadays that you can help. But just obviously set certain positions like the front throwers, the front five, it's harder for them to make, you know, play every week or play at a higher level every week just because of the nature of scrummaging and stuff. So that side of it is always harder for the backs. It's a bit different. Your backs can't come through quicker.
Yeah, I guess there is a good point there. I mean, the angle that I come from is, you know, when I am talking to some of the younger players, a consistent theme seems to be if you've just broken through, it is hard to get game time, and all of a sudden their five-a-side skills get very good because that's all they're doing on Fridays.
Yeah, a bit of that. I mean, I think it's again, depends which club you're at and what size of squad that they have and what positions they are strong at. If they're not as strong in your position, then, you know, you may get an opportunity. And when you get that opportunity, you're going to make sure you take it. That's why all your preparation and your knowledge it needs to be top drawer. So you need to understand what the team plays are. You need to understand what's required at that level. And you've got to make sure you're fit enough and, you know, you've done all your conditioning. So, you know, if you do all that, you do get your rewards and you need a bit of luck along the way as well.
Yeah, well, let's just... before we move on to this, you have made a few decisions in regards to your rugby career, and we'll get on to that later. Just tell me a little bit about how your season's going at Leeds at the moment.
Yeah, it's going well. We've obviously finished second in the season in the league, a domestic league. And we're in the playoffs now. We play our first playoff leg match against Ealing on Friday night. So, you know, we've finished second by 14 points,
wow,
above third. So, you know, and Irish finished 15 points above us. So, you know, there was a big gap, I guess, between them and us and then, the third and fourth team in Ealing and Doncaster. But, you know, it's one-off games are difficult and we've got, well, obviously home and away matches, but semi-finals are, are tense affairs, and hopefully we can perform over the next 2 weeks and get to that championship final.
Now, I'm sure it's no fun for you, but from a neutral's point of view, I actually think that the playoffs and the championship are two of the best games that you can watch as a rugby fan.
Yeah, they've been great in the past. Obviously, a Bristol and Worcester one was great, and even Bristol and Doncaster last year was great, and it ended up being obviously a 7-point game. So there is some tense affairs. That's what I'm saying, that the form book can go out the window because it's just mainly about the who turns up on the night. So yeah, hopefully we can get rewards in the next 2 weeks and get a chance to play against, you know, Irish or Doncaster in the final.
Excellent. Just out of interest, what is your view on the playoff system? I mean, obviously they produce some great rugby and a great spectacle, but it does present its own challenge when you're thinking of planning for the Premiership, should you be lucky enough to get there.
Yeah, and that's the only major challenge that is there. London Irish, Bristol, Worcester, who've come down with very, you know, close to the Premiership squads, have always got the upper hand, and anyone that's wanted to try and get in there is going to have the tough challenge to, you know, London Welsh have done it in the past, and, you know, how hard it is to recruit players in that short time. So You know, we can't change that, and players can't change that. And, you know, and the decision has been made next year to have no playoffs. So whoever wins the league gets promoted, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, ultimately, there's no right and wrong ways, in my view. I think it's what's decided, and everyone has to get on with it.
So are you in favour of scrapping the playoffs, or are you very much just a control your controllables man?
I think that's not a case of in favour. I think if everybody... There's only us and... at present, I think there's only us, maybe Doncaster and London Irish, that can go up through facilities. So you're asking three people that can go up, you would say, of course we want the playoffs. If you're asking people that can't go up, you would say it doesn't make much difference to them. So that's how it is. You know what I mean? For me, if you can get as many opportunities to go up, then of course you would have the playoffs. If you don't and you can't go up anyway, then it doesn't make any difference.
That's a really good point, actually. How do you see the Championship fitting into the English pyramid system? Because it strikes me that there are a handful of clubs that want to go up, and the majority of clubs, they almost couldn't think of anything worse.
Well, they can't go up because of the no academy status, no the stadiums and all these sort of things. So when they don't have the capabilities to go up through the restrictions, through stadiums and all the other regulations, then, you know, then they're not going to get too involved in it all, you know what I mean? And they're not going to want to go up because they wouldn't be allowed to anyway. So that's what I mean. It's not a case of who can and who doesn't want to. It's who can and who can't go up. And at the moment, that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very peculiar one because, you know, if not everyone wants to go up, it does raise some questions about what the point is of the league. I mean, just going back to my original question, how do you see it all fitting into elite level rugby? I guess I'm asking, you know, what's the point of it?
Well, the point of it is there's a lot of academy kids that do play that are not playing in the Premiership, and there's an avenue for them to play higher level rugby. So it's got a massive point in the players that you know, come down. You know, a lot of them are semi-professional anyway, but a lot of the kids is the big thing. They get a chance to play. If you didn't have that league, where would they play? And that's the big question.
Would you be in favour of any kind of restructure? Because obviously you've got the academy status. We've alluded to London Irish. Who is the third club who has academy status in the...
There's nobody else in the Championship.
Ah, right. Okay, so would you be in favour of a restructure to keep all the clubs with academy statuses in the Premiership? Maybe some sort of ring-fencing agreements?
Well, I mean... As I say, there's only 14 teams with the academy at present anyway, so that they're not going to ring fence it. I don't think the Premiership to 14. They may ring fence it to 13, so whoever gets promoted. But, you know, Yorkshire will always have academy because the nature and the size of the county is huge. And, you know, if that means that they play somewhere, at least they get some game time playing for Yorkshire. So that I would never see as I say the Championship's got no point, because I think it has a massive bearing on players coming down from experience, giving that to the young kids that do play, are in the academy. They're playing with some guys like Dean Schofield retiring at Yorkshire this season. Yeah, valuable experience to young kids. And if that wasn't there, that avenue wasn't there for them to see it, it'd be a huge loss in my view.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't for a second suggest scrapping the Championship, but you can see the differential from a fan's point of view when they're thinking, well, you've got basically two super clubs in there with academy status, with the facilities, probably with a larger financial base, and then you've got everyone else. I mean, you could understand why they might think that.
Maybe. We spent, you know, not that much more than most of the other Championship sides. You know, it's only the team that comes down that spends significantly more.
Yeah.
So, you know, there'll be some teams like Richmond are semi-professional. So that's their choice. They have a choice, but they have a rugby club that people have watched for 50 years and they want to watch for another 50 years. And if you take that away, then you take it away. And if somebody's got sponsorship to make it semi-pro, then great. If they don't and it stays pro amateur, then that club will still be there. And if they've got a good group of players that come through and can compete in the Championship, you know, it'd be great to just keep giving them, keep playing rugby. I don't think things should be scrapped just because it's not professional or anything like that. For me, I think the more we play, the more we keep that going. I think it's a good thing.
Okay. Well, just for our listeners then, just give them a quick A quick run through of the challenges that a head coach, director of rugby, people who are running a championship team face should you be lucky enough to win the win a playoff game and get into the Premiership.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, that whole process of looking to rebuild your squad, and you know, for Yorkshire Carnegie, it would be probably at least 10 or 12 players that would need to come in that are actually top draw.
Wow.
And you know, not top draw because there's nobody in England that's still under contract. They're out of contract, sorry, that probably hasn't got a job come 24th of May. So it will be primarily Southern Hemisphere based, or touching base with all the Premiership clubs and saying, look, you know, if you've got two or three players that, you know, you've maybe tried to get rid of and you couldn't, and we can use it in that position. You know, there's lots of ways of striking deals, I guess, or sorting things out. So at present, you know, it's very hard to think on that when you've got a semi to look at. And I know, you know, we haven't certainly looked at that yet. And, you know, but there is lots of players out there that are Southern Hemisphere based that we can probably bring in.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But, you know, team cultures, team spirit, you know, players that have been there all season and next season and the year before that or whatever, you know, they want a part to play in that and they want a shot at the Premiership. So it's very hard to build the culture, you know.
Yeah, it must be fiendishly difficult, because in some ways it's almost like you've got to have two sets of contingencies. If you're staying in the Championship, obviously you've got to build in a certain way. And if you go up, not only do you have to get, like you say, Southern Hemisphere players or players of the right calibre, finding the guys to fit into your group of lads, I can't imagine how difficult that is.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, London Welsh found it tough, didn't they?
Yeah.
On both occasions. So they were a classic example of it, so how hard it was. But that's life. They are tough. It's not easy. And that's the key thing that people need to understand. You know, it's that decision for us as a club won't even be considered until after the semis. Mm. Then there's obviously 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks in that time where you've got a chance to potentially look around and see what players are there and what options you would have. But until then, you know, you can't get too caught up in that, because it is a financial, you know, a big financial strain on everybody.
Okay. Well, you're head coach of a club which is in a, you know, well, put it mildly, a rugby heartland. Just tell me a bit about the academy, because I know you have a lot of lads go through there. And also, how hard is it to retain the talent? I can think of, off the top of my head, 6 or 7 players that have recently come through the Leeds Academy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's 87 rugby clubs in Yorkshire, more than any other county in England. And that obviously is going to have some kids rugby attached to it, which makes our academy a very appealing and very strong one. So that's always great, and you get lots of players coming through. Now, to keep them in there is very difficult, just because of the nature of, you know, a lot of these players, if they're good enough, they want to play in the Premiership. And, you know, over the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, you know, Leeds, Yorkshire, Carnegie haven't been up there. So it is extremely tough to keep them in that background. And it's very hard to stop someone with that ambition and keep holding them back and asking for loyalty when it's a short-lived game. It's a 10-year career. And if you don't, you know, give it your best and take every opportunity, sometimes you miss out. So it is a difficult challenge, but it's one that, you know, if you keep producing players, there is a system now, obviously, with the EAP, where there's compensation to clubs for producing players. And if they produce them, and then other academies, you know, come in and take them because of whatever reasons, then, you know, there is compensation to deliver to that club. And that never compensates for taking some great talent away, money, but it allows you to, you know, bring that money back into the club and support the younger boys coming through. So you keep that continual, you know, conveyor belt of kids coming through from Yorkshire.
Do you think Leeds are in a pretty good situation in regards to academy? Because the jump from academy rugby to premiership is absolutely vast. Going from academy to championship actually gives them a real good grounding for that next step. In fact, I imagine it could be a bit of a selling point.
100%, and that's the big thing, because it gives them some, you know, especially the front five players, they have some tough days in that championship front five, and that's really important, you know, how hard they find it, and you know that's crucial, you know, that people understand that. So for me, it's a great avenue for everybody to play and learn and make mistakes, and it's you know, make mistakes at that level, you don't get punished too much, you know.
Yeah. Now, when you're looking at academy talent, this is the one thing which I always wonder. I think it's relatively straightforward, and I say relatively, I do mean that, to spot talent in, say, fly halves, scrum halves, outside backs, because you know what to expect. How, as a coach, do you go about identifying talent in the front row when they tend to, and second row for that matter, they tend to develop so late on?
Well, I mean, I think the development process is game time.
Yeah.
You can be as big as you want, as strong as you want, but you need to get them in games, and you can get them exposed to games against a 35-year-old, you know, guy that's in the championship, has been there for 10 years or has come down from the premiership. So you give them that 10, 15 minutes at the end of a game, half an hour, 40 minutes at the start, you start picking up some sort of mindset of what kind of player he is under that pressure, because until he gets put under that pressure, you're not going to know. And, you know, that's the big thing. And talent doesn't necessarily show on how they look. It's really how they react and how they cope with the pressure of game time, you know, and five or six scrums in a row, and you very rarely get that chance. So for me, it's a big focus on get them out there, see what they're capable of, see can they cope with the physicality of it. If they can, great. Mm. You know, and they'll move on in the stages that they're right. Not everyone moves on at the same stage. So yeah, that's why I believe the championship is great for a lot of kids, you know, and a lot of them go away to the premiership clubs and come back in on a Tuesday and have 2 days maybe with the premiership team and come back down. And it allows them that real opportunity to keep training with the big boys and that dream of the premiership, but also the reality of you've got to graft and you've got to work in the championship.
Do you, as a head coach, look at the construction of your squad and think there is sort of a sweet spot of how many lads you should have coming through from the academy and then mixing them in with, you know, more experienced veteran players?
No, it goes in cycles. It always has been and always will do. No matter whatever sport you play, you may have a group, class of 92 at Man United, classic example, you have a group that comes through. You don't get that every year. Mm. You may have three or four, you may have five or six, you may have one or two. It just goes on cycles. It happens, and you may have, I know, an influx of front five forwards, and 2 years later you have none. So I don't think you can look into it too much. It's not a fixed science in that way. It's more of you know, what's coming through and what area, you know, you're looking for, scrum halves, fullbacks, whatever. And certain players move around at different ages as well in the back line, so you can mix and match a little bit in there, and they can finally find their feet when they're 18, 19, 20.
Now,
whereas the front row guys tend to take a bit longer, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, as we alluded to earlier on. The players which you're bringing on board, sounds like a daft question, but are they all exclusively from a union background, or are you getting much talent from rugby league?
No, not really. I mean, I think the rugby league's got a very good structure at the Rhinos, and their 16s and 17s and 19s age group is very strong.
Mm.
And also they introduce players very quickly into the senior setup in rugby league, because of there's no scrummaging, there's not as much technical. It is more based on, you know, physically. It's a tough game, and if you can cope with that physicality and have the core skills to cope with it, you do okay. And you know, they're both good. We don't get a huge crossover, especially with the front five players, because rugby league there's no one really at that size. But you know, certainly some of the backs and back rowers are very good, you know. So, but they get pushed pretty quickly forward in rugby league, and that gives them a real chance, you know.
Yeah, I don't suppose you ever come across a conflict where you've got a youngster and he's kind of working out whether he wants to go league or union, because I guess you're probably the only club in the country that that has that link.
Yeah, and you know, I've got huge respect for the boys at the Rhinos and their whole academy system. Everybody that they have there, they're good people, and
yeah.
They're all trying to make a living too. They're all trying to get the best young kids to come and play league, and that's just the nature of it. And some of the schools determine that, just based on the school plays a lot of rugby, and you know, they don't do any rugby league, or some of them areas have got a more rugby league background. So some of these things just go by, you know, what follows suit, really. But at the moment, we're pretty fortunate. We get a good group, and obviously the Rhinos got a good group of lads that have come through over the last couple of years. So we don't have too much hassle with it. I have a lot of respect for the Rhinos boys and the players at the rugby league.
Yeah. Are you guys training at the same facilities?
Yeah. We've always trained at the same facility at Kirkstall, yeah.
And so, for instance, you've never had a situation maybe in at Yorkshire where you've seen a lad and you thought, actually, you might not be good enough at Union, but you'd be perfect at league, or vice versa.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Taylor Powell's just gone to Warrington Wolves.
Yeah.
Was England under-20s, played in the wing for us. He's got an opportunity. I don't think he was getting retained next season, and he's had an opportunity to go and play rugby league and trial for rugby league at Warrington Wolves. So, you know, people do move back and forward, and that's crucial for them. You know, that's a big part of it. And, you know, we have a facility there that gives an opportunity for both camps. Jimmy Kindhorst, you know what I mean? He played. There's a few in there that have played both, you know. So the key part to that is, you know, it's fortunate for the lads, but ultimately, when their mind's made up, they want to stick to one sport and they want to give it a real go. And that's what happens, you know.
Excellent. What was it like for your group of players to have a lad like Kevin Sinfield join?
Yeah, Kev was great. You know, an extremely professional bloke, outstanding trainer, really good leader, but obviously he'd played 20-odd years at rugby league. It's a total different
game. Yeah.
So, found it a lot different because obviously everyone's a lot closer to you. But no, he was great to work with and a real player. Great to be around, and as I say, he was great for us last year. And I think he realised how different the two games were when he actually played, you know, Union with us last season. But I mean, what a bloke, and what an inspiration for many people, you know.
Yeah, do you do much crossover training? Because I was actually talking to Rob Pickerman the other day.
Not necessarily. A lot of the game, you know, Jimmy Lowe's, who I work with, you know, he coaches the backs and the attack stuff for us. You know, catch and pass is catch and pass. It doesn't really matter whatever level. You know what I mean? And the fitness levels of the backs are very similar to the rugby league. So that side of it, you know, we don't do much. They are two technically different games. So no, we don't get too much caught up in the crossover of it. You know, rugby union is different. There is so many more regulations when the ball's on the floor, and it's a contest when it's on the floor. And when it's in rugby league, it's not a contest. So that has a big difference. But catch and pass is the same at any sport.
I just wanted to ask you about coaching in general and how it's changed over the years, but more specifically, how it's changed in terms of pressure within the role itself. Could you just give me a bit of an insight into that?
Yeah, I mean, the actual coaching side of it hasn't changed, really. You know, players still need supported in the roles, they still need encouraged, they still need criticised, they still need picked up. That hasn't changed, but obviously the expectation of being in big clubs, winning and losing, you know, is massive nowadays. And, you know, some of the shareholders are coming and are from a big business background and they want instant success. Whereas some of the older guys, and I can only relate to Tom Walkinshaw, was, you know, a motor racing driver, understood the sport, understood what it was to win, understood when it was a player's bad day and when it was a coach's bad day. So that's changed a little bit. But I just think, you know, that people become very impatient when there's more money involved, and that's always very difficult, you know.
Do you see this new approach as being a little short-sighted?
Not at all short-sighted, because they're very ambitious and very successful men. They're just very, maybe, you know, they just want success pretty quickly because they're paid and they put their hand in their pocket. And I think most of them accept if a team lose and they care. I think what they struggle with is if it looks like somebody doesn't care and he's getting rewarded, you know, or getting looked after well. So that's when I guess they get frustrated.
Yeah, that is interesting, because I see it almost as like a lack of understanding that rugby, one of the major constituent parts of a successful team, is consistency and time together.
Not necessarily. Again, it's there's many different ways of looking at it. As I say, it always looks back at, for me, as the how the player reacts, how he cares about the jersey he wears. And if he cares for the jersey he wears, no matter who you are, whether you put money in or you don't put money in, as long as he represents that brand well, you can accept most things that they do, you know?
Yeah. So at the end of the year, you're stepping away from the game. What is next for you, Brian?
I'm going to work for a foreign exchange company called AFX, which deal in the handling fee of different currencies. But I'm looking into all sporting events or companies or associations or individuals, whether it be football, whether it be cricket, whether it be rugby, whether it be horse racing. There's a lot of exchanges between, you know, foreign currencies because of the nature of racehorses, for argument's sake, are all bought across Ireland, Dubai, America, Australia, and obviously brought into this country. And there's a handling fee attached to that. And you look at Ben Stokes, the cricketer, he's earning lots of money in the IPL, and there's a transfer in there. So AFX is a company, a bank virtually, privately owned bank, and they deal solely on that. So that's what I'm going to look into and try and branch into Scotland as well with the company.
And a nice, refreshing change of challenge for you too.
Oh, massively, yeah. I mean, that'll be a huge difference for me, and a tough time to get used to some of the changes. But new chapter of my life and new chapter of my career, and something else that I've got really excited about over the last sort of 3 or 4 months when I announced it, that it's a new challenge for me. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great fun, and I get a chance to spend some time with my family as well.
Well, you'll certainly be missed from the game. Best of luck with your new endeavour, and as I'm Manchester-based, I will be keeping a keen eye out for your son in the future.
Good man. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
No problem, Brian. Take care.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.